Beloved in Christ, it's a joy to be with you again, to open God's Word with you. And I want to invite you to do just that, to turn in your Bibles with me to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, will continue in our study of the book of Haggai, looking at verses 10 through 19 this evening. Verses 10 through 19. While you're turning in your copy of the Scriptures, by way of reminder, when the Lord brought his people back from exile, he commissioned them, he called them, he charged them to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. We know from Haggai chapter 1 that they had delayed in their work, but God in his grace confronted them. And in their delaying and putting off the work, he sent Haggai the prophet to call them back to the work. They heard the word, they obeyed the Lord, they feared the Lord, and God gave them this promise that he also gives to you, his church today. I am with you. Last week, we heard on Lord's Day morning that the Lord also gave them another assurance as they continued in their obedience. Not only that he would bring this temple a greater glory, but that his Spirit is in their midst. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's Spirit is in our midst. He is here dwelling among us. I hope that you remember those things. I hope that you mark those things and you don't forget them. But you continually rehearse that the Lord is here, and he abides by his Spirit, not only in our midst, but as the people of God in this new covenant, he is within us. Having rehearsed that and remembering those things, let's pay attention now to God's holy word inspired, given to us that we might hear and believe, repent of our sins, and put our confidence in the Lord Jesus together. Hear the word of the Lord, Haggai chapter 2. Starting in verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward. Before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word given to you, his people. Let's pray and give him thanks for his word to us. Our great and glorious God, how kind you are to speak to us, your people, to awaken us to the glory of your name, to allow us to participate in the work that you called us to do. As your people who've been rescued out of slavery to sin and death, Lord, you have promised to make us a fruitful people, a people who bear fruit according to your will and according to your word. Lord, you have promised to bless those who have put their confidence in Jesus. And Lord, here we are gathered in your name, in the name of your Son, calling upon you, knowing that you've made promises, and you will keep those promises if we but hear and believe turn from our sins, and continue to walk in faithfulness. Lord, you have promised that you will bless us because you are the covenant-keeping God who keeps steadfast love for his people. And we delight in your word and in your promise. And we delight in your Son who has secured these promises for us in this new covenant that we delight in, knowing that the gospel is true and we have a great hope and a God who has promised to bless us. So Lord, help us to hear your word, to respond to it, and to obey it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord, in his kindness, again speaks through the prophet Haggai to this people to remind them of what God has done for them, to show them what God is providing for them in their midst, in their generation, in their time and day, but also to show them and to remind them of what he's promised yet to do for them. In order for us to understand the beauty and the magnitude of the gospel, we need to mark out certain maybe stones of remembrance that remind us of where we were, what God has done, and what God has promised to do for us. And the people of God in Haggai's day, having laid the foundation stone of the temple, God says, "This stone, let it be a marker for you." And this would be very familiar for them because they had heard through how Abraham had journeyed through the land, setting up altars, stone altars, marking out places where he says, "God met me here. God blessed me here. Not only should I remember this, but that my sons would remember this and generations remember this." They set up these stones of remembrance, these markers, these altars that said, "God met me here, God spoke to me here, he blessed me here." We see it all throughout the Old Testament. We also see how in Joshua's day, how they set up stones of remembrance. Mark this, look at this, God met us here. He gave us a mighty salvation and a mighty deliverance. Let us not forget, and let us not forget to tell one generation the story of why these stones are here. God says through Haggai to the people that laying the foundation stone of the temple was to serve for them as a stone of remembrance, but also to serve for them as a stone of promise, to show them who God is, what he's done, what he's promising to do. And this seems like it's repetitive, but God loves to do that. He loves to show us where we were, where he has us, and what he's promising to do with us in the future. But often, when we look at these stones, we need to remember where we've come from. And that's what we see here first. God confronts the people by particularly speaking to the priest, asking them for a ruling concerning the law of God. The Lord comes to the priest through the prophet Haggai, and it says in verse 11, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law." Another way of saying this, have the priest give you a ruling. Here's the case, set it before the priest, and let them make a judgment. And the first ruling he's asking them for is in verse 12. "If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with the fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy?" And the priest answer, "No." What does this teach us about holiness? What does this teach us about this act that God is asking the priest to make a judgment on? It is this: holiness is not transmittable. Just because you're in proximity to something that is holy does not make you holy. Just because you do something, one thing in obedience, if you do it in wholehearted obedience, it is not a sanctified act. Or one person's holiness rubbing up against you doesn't make you a holy person. Your religious deeds don't make you holy. That's just obedience. So when the priest would take the holy meat and take it and put it in the fold, think of the fold of their garment as like a little pocket they would store the meat in to take home and to eat on. When they put that holy meat in the fold of their garment, when it went to touch anything else, it doesn't sanctify whatever else it touches. Because holiness is not transmittable. It can be declared, but it cannot be transferred from one holy object to an unholy object, making it holy. So our religious deeds, without an appropriate heart, fall short of the goal and objective. So he asks them to make a ruling. Do these things become holy? And they say, no. Why? Holiness is not transmittable. But then he asks them another question. He asks for another ruling. Look at verse 13. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, stew, bread, wine, oil, or any other kind of food, that's what he means by these, any of these, does it become unclean? And the answer from the priest, their ruling is, it does become unclean. Holiness is not transmittable, but sin and uncleanliness contaminates everything. We have a problem here. Because the Lord then says, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so every work of their hands and whatever they offer there is unclean. Offer where? Remember, when they came back from exile, they immediately built the altar to the Lord. They immediately laid the foundations for the temple, and then they stopped because of the opposition from the outsiders. They stopped short of fulfilling the mission that God had sent them there to do. They continued on with their holy acts of offering sacrifices, but without fulfilling the command that God had given to them. So even in their sacrificing, on this altar, on the temple foundation, it's half-hearted obedience. Did you hear that? It's half-hearted obedience. It's doing the right things, but not with a full heart of obedience, fulfilling all that God's commanded. And half-hearted obedience, if you're a parent, you know this. Half-hearted obedience is disobedience. And sin contaminates everything, even your holy deeds, your righteous deeds, the religious things that you would do. You know, well, I'm not being faithful in all areas of my life, but I'm faithful to the Lord's Day. I go to church. I sing the Psalms, I read the Scriptures, but it doesn't touch anything else in my life. It's like a compartmentalized act, a deed that I do, but it doesn't really affect everything. It's not wholehearted obedience. Half-hearted obedience, again, is disobedience, and sin contaminates everything. So there's the bad news. And God says, this people, they need to hear that whatever they offer on that altar, it's unclean. But this was before they heard the word of Haggai to come and to fulfill the work that God had given them to do, to rebuild the temple. At this point, now they have actually began to do the work of rebuilding the temple. They heard the word of the Lord. They obeyed the word of the Lord. They began to do the work of the Lord in Haggai 1. They feared the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm with you. And their spirits were stirred within them. They began to obey wholeheartedly. And then the Lord says, just remember before the stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Just remember that. Consider from this day onward. You've actually began to obey with a whole heart, but remember what life was like before you obeyed. Everything you touched, everything you did was unclean. But then you started to obey with a whole heart. Remember where you were before you were obedient to God's word. Remember the outcome of your life. Remember the difficulties you faced. remember how half-hearted obedience produced lack in your life. Remember, they would go to get something to drink and they'd always wind up empty. They'd go to get something to eat and they'd always wind up full. They'd work really hard and they'd put money into their bag, but it had holes in it. Remember that? God reminds them again. Before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. He wants them to remember. Remember how it was before you obeyed with a whole heart. Remember the outcome of your sin. Remember the trouble you were in, the despair you were in. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. Because God must punish sin. He says in verse 17, I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Remember that. Don't forget how your life was before you obeyed me with a whole heart. Remember, remember, remember the consequences of sin. Sin contaminates everything. And if you forget that, with hearts like ours, we might begin to make excuses, dabble here and there, if we forget what God has saved us from and the outcome of sin, the outcome of half-hearted obedience. Let's call it really what it is, blatant disobedience. He struck them. He punished them. He was gracious enough to reprimand his children, but yet they did not turn. But when Haggai came to them, again, remember, in the second year of Darius the king in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai. He spoke to them. They heard, they obeyed, they feared, and they responded. They began to build, and God says, now, from this day on, now that the stone has been laid, now that the foundation stone is in place, look at verse 18. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Consider the difference that obedience has made. Consider now that you are fulfilling the mission that I sent you into the land to do. Consider that you have heard my word and you responded with faith, and not just faith, but faithful obedience. Consider where you are now. And so he asked them the question, is the seed yet in the barn? Now for us, reading that, that's a difficult question, isn't it? Lord, what do you mean, is the seed yet in the barn? Well, we have to remember, it's on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius. This was their planting season. This was a time of scattering seed in the hopes that there would be a harvest in the future. They've just come out of a harvest season, and what was the fruit of that? Lack and need and despair. So the question is, where's the seed? Well, the seed is lying dormant in the ground. That's where it's at now. They planted it. They haven't reaped the harvest yet. They've just sowed the seed. But what's the difference between this planting and the previous one? They began to obey the Lord from their heart. Building the temple, they go out to sow the seed. It's not in the barn anymore. But they don't yet see the fruit of their planting. Indeed, the Lord says, indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. You don't see the fruit of your labor yet. You're being faithful, but you don't see the results yet. You've done the work of building the temple. You've done the work of being faithful to plant a seed. But yet, you look at the vine, you look at the fig tree, you look at the pomegranate, you look at the olive tree, not yielding anything yet. But that's when the Lord comes in with this blessed assurance, this promise to his people. But from this day on, you see that foundation stone laid in the temple? You see the stones being built up on it? From this day on, I will bless you. There's a promise made to the people of God, even though they don't yet see the fruits of their obedience, even though they don't see the fruits of their faithfulness. The faithful one has made promises to them. He's saying, you've done the work of building my temple. You've done the work of planting the seed. I'm going to be faithful to you. I will bless you. And how will the Lord bless? Well, we need to go to Haggai's contemporary, Zechariah, to see the extent of what the Lord has promised. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets. That would include Haggai. Who were present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days there was no wage for man, or any wage for beast. Neither was there any safety from their foe, for him who went out or came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. But now. Now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you. And you shall be a blessing. Fear not. But let your hands be strong. What has God promised to do? To pour out his abundant grace without measure on them. To show them his faithfulness in extravagant, prodigious ways. To show them how kind and generous of a heart God has toward his people when they hear and respond with faith and obey and walk in his word, blessing upon blessing. Where you lacked, I will provide. Where you were hungry, I will satisfy. Where you were thirsty, I will quench. Where you used to be a cuss word in the mouth of the nations, I will make you a blessing to them. And they will turn and see the goodness of your God. This is a glorious redemption. This is a glorious salvation. And what does that have to do with us? But you were dead in your sins and transgressions. You were dead. What do dead people produce? What fruit comes from sinning but death? God made us alive in Christ Jesus. We were dead, but he made us alive. We were without hope, but he saved us. We were unfruitful, despairing, and in distress, but he has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Have you gone to that precious cornerstone lately and considered what God has done for you? Have you gone to that stone of remembrance and considered that, yes, there were people who rejected him, but you've received him? And in him, you are being built up. You are being established. You are becoming, for God, a temple that he will fill. Have you gone to the precious cornerstone that saved you and redeemed you? Are you meditating and rehearsing and thinking about what Jesus has done for you? You were unfruitful. Everything you touched was unclean. Actually, everything you touched, you killed, because that's all that sin can do. That's the only fruit that it produces, is death. But God has made you alive, and he's brought you to a husband who has made you fruitful. And by the power of his life-giving spirit, he's bearing good fruit in you. Do you remember? Have you gone to that stone of remembrance? Have you heard with 1 Peter chapter 2, as you come to him, go to him, brothers and sisters. Go to him who is a living stone. Go to him and think on him. Remember what you've been saved from. Remember what God has promised to do for you now. He was a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, he's chosen and precious. Just, God's word's amazing, but those two words, chosen and precious. The only way I know how to think about that is there was one girl in the entire world that I chose. And she's precious to me. There is one whom I have devoted and covenanted my life to, and I got to make the choice and the decision, yes. And she so kindly said yes. But she's precious to me. God has chosen his son with that same kind of intensity, with that same kind of affection. And if God values his son, that stone, so much, what do you value? Have you gone to him? Have you considered who he is and what he's done for you? 1 Peter 2 continues. It says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, like a temple, to be a holy priesthood. Remember, God goes to the priests and says, make a judgment. God's making a judgment about you, his people. You are a holy priesthood who are to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. How? Through Jesus Christ, that chosen and precious stone. Go to him. Remember him. Mark from this day on what God has done for you. Remember your baptism. Rehearse it. Go to that place and remember where Christ set his mark on you and marked you out. Remember where you were when you put your confidence in him. Don't forget these places and these times and these situations where it was, God met me here. God moved in my life here. God blessed me here. Go to him and remember the great blessing that God has done in your life in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But also hear what God says. When you go to that stone, you just don't see how he has blessed you. You just don't stand in blessing. But hear him say that what he said to the people in Haggai chapter 2. I will bless you. He has so much more grace to give for those who come to him, for those who go to him. Brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ, meditate on these things. Rehearse these things. Maybe you're sitting here and you've not yet even come to the stone and encountered it yet. He is a living stone and he is in our midst. Go to him. I bid you run to him. Cling to him and say, cleanse me from my impurity. Cleanse me from my deadly doing. Deadly doing. Cleanse me from my religiosity. And give me faith that I might be made clean and acceptable to my God. Go to him, whoever you are, wherever you're at right now. If you're in Christ, you take delight in that. If you've not yet come to him, I bid you, I plead with you. Go to him. He will not reject you, though you've rejected him. He will not reject you, though you've despised him. He will not turn you away, though you've turned from him. If you go to him, he will receive you. Put your confidence in him. Repent of your sin and believe, and you will be saved. Another way of saying that is, you will be blessed. May the Lord do it. Let's pray. Our great and glorious God, we delight in the good news of the gospel, that we were once dead in our sins and our trespasses, but you made us alive in Christ. We have come to the stone that the builders rejected. We've come to the chosen and precious stone that you have established. And Lord, we come and we cling to you, delighting in the promises that you've made to your people. Lord, we know that you have not required of us sacrifices and offering, but an obedient heart that hears your word and responds with faith. God, we turn from our sin. We turn from our deadly doing. And we come to Christ, remembering what he has done to make us acceptable to you, that we might be a holy priesthood in your service. Lord, for anyone here who has not yet come to Christ, may this be the hour, may this be the day that they close with him and put their confidence in him, turning from their own doing, trying to be acceptable to their friends or to their family or even to their own conscience, that they would surrender that doing and cling to Christ, who has done everything well for us. He is the precious and chosen one, and we cling to him. Lord, help us to continue to remember what you've done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.